Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Before I introduce you to today's guest, I'd like to take a moment to, of course, thank you for tuning in, because without you tuning in, there would be no point to the show. So thank you for tuning in from wherever in the world you might be tuning in from today. And thank you to our sponsors, Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including payrolling, temporary services, contingency, and retained search. So please do keep them in mind for any potential recruiting or executive search needs that you might have. Today, I'm very excited to have a friend and just this amazing powerhouse of a woman on the show, Corrine Wolford. Corrine is a woman of many secrets. When she shares these secrets with corporate leaders and women entrepreneurs from Dallas to Dubai, they learn how to make a profit while creating a meaningful difference in the world. Over the last 30 years, teams at IBM, Sony, Apple, and USAA have learned how to save money, expand sales, and win customers using her methods. If you're interested in becoming a stronger business person, then she is the person who you want to keep in mind. Additionally, she is really incredible at training and performance in negotiation, and she is a two-time international best-selling author and award-winning business mentor for women entrepreneurs, and is a woman entrepreneur most likely to be enjoying the arts with her big Italian family on the tennis courts or advocating for a worthy cause. Thanks so much for joining us today, Corrine.
You are welcome.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure. I had the privilege and honor of having you speak at an event that we hosted in Los Angeles for our Gratitude Girls group back in, I think it was October of last year, correct?
Yes, that was an amazing group. And kudos to you for getting that underway. I know that it is, you know, gratitude is something that was important to all of those folks, and I really enjoyed speaking at your event. Thank you for thinking of me.
Oh, of course. And so tell our listeners a little bit about how did negotiation, gratitude, how did you become a best-selling author? What was the research you did to become the success that you are teaching these great organizations?
Thanks for asking. I started my career at IBM over 30 years ago, and I took the leap to become a woman entrepreneur way before it was cool, at the advice of a mentor. So I worked for a global consulting company giving their programs to Fortune 500 companies in the areas of management, sales, and customer service, and coaching. And I did that for about a decade. And when we did teach negotiation, it was for sales teams. And then we moved to San Antonio, and there were not a lot of Fortune 500 companies here. So I decided to start a training and development consulting company here, and I did a body of research where I interviewed 500 men, 500 women. Some of them were corporate executives, some of them were community contributors, and also parents. And I wanted to get their insights on negotiation. And what I found was very interesting, and it has led to my expertise in negotiation. I speak at women's conferences and working with corporate clients and so forth. So I think a big part of my interest in this whole area, of course, gratitude is a cornerstone, one of the core values of my company. And I was a co-author in a couple of books that went to bestseller on gratitude, the gratitude, 365 Days to Gratitude. It was the Gratitude Book Project. And then I just wrote a couple of chapters in two other books, one on business strategy and one on negotiation. and they went to international best-selling author through Experts Insight Publishing. So that's just kind of a brief snapshot.
Amazing. I mean, I think gratitude, to your point, it is a cornerstone, not just of your company, but I think it's the cornerstone of us as human beings. When gratitude is present, even for a crappy job or a crappy situation we might find ourselves in the moment when you can connect to gratitude, miracles become possible.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. I remember, you know, oftentimes when I speak, Jennifer, I talk about I'm a recovering overgiver. You know, I think it's great to be a giver, but I remember when I was 29 years old and I realized that it had to stop. I was, as I said, a facilitator for a global consulting company, and I was in Nashville preparing to give a sales management training program for Sony, and I was there with, you know, 9 other facilitators, and the director came in and said, we have a problem. The Sony executives would like their program tomorrow in French. This is for the French entourage. And my heart just almost stopped. If you were in the room, you could have heard a pin drop. But for me, all I could hear was my heart beating out of my chest because I thought, Corinne, you are totally the rookie on this job. Whatever you do, do not raise your hand. And plus, they don't even know you speak French. And then it was, do they know I speak French? Oh my good Lord, what if they know I speak French? And so finally, you know, between my head and my heart, my hand went straight up, Jennifer, and I said, I can help. And there she came. She helped me, you know, with the leader's guide and so forth. And to my right, I hear laughter from the other facilitators. And they were saying, like, rookie on board. She doesn't even know she could have gotten paid more for that. And I thought,
my gosh,
you know, I can't worry about that. And so I got everything up and I went up to my room and the whole time sort of, you know, just having the conversation in your head about why did I do this? And then when I closed the door, I made 2 decisions. I said, tomorrow I'm going to knock it out of the park with the Sony executives. And number 2, I'm going to negotiate for a higher per diem. And I'm going to figure out how the per diems work. And as I said, if necessary, negotiate for really what I deserve. And so that's what we ended up doing. The next day went extremely well. They were so gracious. And we did it in English and French. And then I put in a request to speak to the vice president about per diems and how they were structured. And I really prepared for the meeting. I had to wait almost 3 months. Because they didn't really meet with the senior seminar leaders and eventually became a senior training and development consultant. But at the time, I was, you know, I'd only been there a few months. So anyway, when I went in, I was able to have a conversation with him. And the surprise was the courage came in just asking for the meeting. And I think that's what a lot of job seekers face, you know, that what I call the negotiator's dilemma, you know, the whole idea of should I make the decision to do it or not? Because there's interest pulling me toward negotiating, and there's differences and a bit of my fear pulling me away, right?
Yeah.
But to make a, you know, we basically had a great conversation. He knew all about me. I came prepared with success stories and some really good questions. He gave me a raise right off the bat, which I appreciated, but I really wanted to go farther and say, hey, what else can we do so that the other seminar leaders understand what's involved with getting their per diem increases? So there really wasn't anything in place. He liked some of my ideas, and then a group of us put together a format where everybody understood the process by which they could get more pay.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's so powerful because I think part of it is realizing that we even have the capacity for that higher title or that higher wage. I think so many of us become resigned and cynical of, oh, well, I've always made $50,000 and that's just what you get paid in my line of work, or my per diem is going to be $100 or $500 a day and that's just how it is. And the truth of the matter is, it's the people who break through the boundaries and who say, wait a second, you know, what if you tried something else? And I think it's such an important distinction, because there's this, it's a distinction that I had learned a week or two ago and revisited in a program called Landmark about being unreasonable. And I was faced with an obstacle last Thursday, Corinne, and that obstacle felt insurmountable. And I got evidence. I went out and talked to people about it. I talked to attorneys about it and got clarification. And everybody agreed, you know, there's nothing you could do. And this one person who happened to be in my class the weekend before, she was like, you know what? Go do something else, Jen. Go, like, knock on doors, be unreasonable, etc. And I kid you not, Corinne, out of this whole thing that had happened last week, I wound up reaching out to the key players who could help me on LinkedIn. I didn't even have a LinkedIn premium subscription. I just went on, signed up for a month of LinkedIn premium, and one by one emailed the people who could help me. And by gosh, I actually got a call back by Friday about the problem that I needed solved. And it's really remarkable, though, when we just try. It's so easy to give up and throw up our hands and say, oh, no, I have all these reasons that I don't deserve a raise, or they're not going to give me a raise because I'm a woman or minority or blah, blah, blah. But if that's the story you're living in, you're never going to try.
Well, it's so true. And I really acknowledge you for persevering and trying to be, you know, creative in resolving the concern, because a lot of people stop right there. You know, in my Negotiate with Success framework, it's all about the mindset and the skill set associated with negotiating with success. So definitely, you know, you have to be in the right frame of mind to resolve the difference, and, you know, have a collaborative kind of sensibility, if you will, that you're there for mutual gain for all the parties involved. But you can't exclude yourself as one of the parties involved. And that's really why I think negotiation is such an important leadership skill to develop, because with the right strategies, we can all shape successful deals, whether we're, you know, resolving a difference, buying, selling, or solving client or family concerns, trying to negotiate up with our salary, or just dealing with difficult people. So, it's very important. And for women in particular, I believe that negotiation is an important topic, because knowing how to do it well really positively impacts their self-esteem, helps them get what they want and need in their business and in their personal lives, and also allows them to more easily and confidently succeed. And it's true for men too, but we found through our research that women were more likely to shortchange themselves in the deal.
So tell us a little bit more about your research. I'm really curious about any other interesting points or statistics that you found out in the research that you did. I think you said with 500 men and 500 women, correct?
Yes, that's true. You know, surprisingly, over 91% of the respondents responded that they found negotiation to be scary. And I think that's something for all of us to sort of take in. You know, it's maybe not an easy skill for everyone, but it's something that you can learn and do well. I will tell you that when men were asked what was the number one reason that they found their negotiations failed, the men said that it was because they failed to develop the relationship first. And the women cited the number one reason their negotiations failed was because they did not ask specifically for what they wanted.
Fascinating. So what do you think led to that distinction or that difference?
You know, as I said, I think that most women have this natural ability to negotiate because of their ability to empathy comes a little bit more natural to them. And they have this willingness to come to this fair resolution. However, a lot of women lack the knowledge and the skills they need when they negotiate. And so they either negotiate too soon or make concessions that really hurt their company's profitability. And as I said earlier, oftentimes women create resolutions that are not fair and equitable for all parties, and they shortchange themselves in the area of like time or money or added benefits or self-esteem. Whereas men, they tend to, move forward sometimes before they're ready. So the relational aspects of a negotiation might be something that they miss. You know, I should have really developed a relationship with Jennifer Hill before I went in or something like that. So, but what's good about the men is that, they have this confidence. And, the most important thing you can bring to the negotiation is your confidence. So, each sex has their own sort of value that they bring to the table. But it's a learned skill, so anybody can learn it and do it very well.
I love that. I love that you brought up confidence, Corinne, because there are men and women, I think, who feel that confidence is this elusive animal that they can't quite wrap their hands around. And do you have any recommendation? I'm just making this up as I go. Do you have any recommendations for people on how they can build confidence? So whether we're talking about negotiating a potential deal or delivering a talk or whatever it might be, how can we increase our confidence as human beings?
Sure. Well, I think that, first of all, you sort of have to have this belief. You have to be able to trust in your own untried capacity. There's this, we all have this desire to expand and to be successful. And you have to believe that you're capable of achieving that outcome. That's the beginning, because if you don't believe it, it's going to be really difficult to be persuasive and to get others to believe it. But when we're talking just about negotiation, I oftentimes say, negotiate, practice. Practice asking for help. I mean, just today I was at a Biz Women's Mentoring Monday event here in San Antonio. We're with a powerhouse ton of women and many award-winning business mentors. I myself am an award-winning business mentor through the National Association of Women Business Owners. But today I went practicing my receiving skill. I did not go in as a mentor. I went in to listen, and I went in to, ask some good questions. And of course I was of service to people, some folks that needed help. But for the most part, I was listening. So I think, there's that yin and the yang, isn't there, Jennifer, where we have to, practice, delivering, asking good, high quality questions, being able to respond, practicing asking questions like, is there a signing bonus for this role? Okay, that's a tough question to ask, and one, by the way, that a lot of people don't ask. Even new hires should be asking this question, because recruiters on the back end, in terms of like a secret, they say most people do not ask that question, and so therefore it is never brought up, and that's money that could go in the pocket of the job seeker. So I would say start practicing tough questions like this and, practice the ask and practice with men and women so that you're not thrown, if you will, by their demeanor, and you can confidently communicate regardless of sex.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And there's a couple important topics that you just touched on right there. One is recruiters and bonuses. A recruiter's job is to get you as much money as possible. And you're absolutely right. You know, for many years, especially from 2008 to 2000, I would say maybe 13, we rarely, if ever, saw bonuses or sign-on bonuses. But particularly in the last 2 years, there's been a huge comeback because salaries are inflated. People are making more than they have before. And if you don't ask, you don't get. If you're not unreasonable, you're not going to get what you want. Something funny that you touched on, Corinne, that occurred to me while you were speaking is one technique that you could go out and do tonight. You know, you go home, you're hanging out with friends, or, you know, who knows what time and where in the world people might be listening to this, but dust off your Monopoly board. That's where I remember learning my first negotiation skills. I'm kidding, but not kidding, really. Because think about it, that entire game is one big game of negotiation, and really just ask unreasonable questions. I think that could be the secret to making your six-figure job you've always wanted, or making a million, or whatever it is. That's my suggestion.
Yes. Well, I think it's a great one. You know, a lot of people learn differently, and so, you know, it's just, I think, you know, there have been books written on the fact that women don't ask. In fact, I was asked to speak at a conference, a National Association of Women Business Owners conference in Delaware, and it was sponsored by, you know, it had a lot of sponsors, and there were 300 women and that I trained over a two-day period on how to negotiate. The keynote was talking about the fact, all of her research on how women do not ask. And it was very impactful. And she took me aside at the end and she said, you know, I'm so glad that you're comfortable facilitating the training because I'm a researcher. That's not something I'm interested in doing. And I said, I think it's great, you know, because we can work together. And I certainly acknowledge her brilliance. But, you know, my program, And really any good program about negotiation should be a framework that people can easily adapt to their own style. That's what I took into account with my program. And it's really for people that are new to negotiation, have some experience negotiating, or are seasoned pros. The simple framework can help you get to the next level and become a better negotiator. And as I shared with you earlier when we talked prior to this, is that I truly believe that if you become a better negotiator, you will become a stronger business leader. And that's what we need. We need great business leaders, men and women, in the world. That's how we're all going to elevate.
Yeah, and I want to touch on something, Corinne, because I know I struggled with this being, you know, a woman myself, and I'm sure there are many men out there who struggle with this as well. I felt guilty asking for more. Like, oh, gosh, you know what? Do I really need more money? You know, you feel kind of ashamed or guilty or embarrassed about asking for more. And for me, what I realized, though, for anybody out there who might be tuning in and having that same thought, when you have extra, say your needs are met, say if you make $60,000 a year, you can put your kids in school, you can pay your bills, you can, you know, go on a vacation a year, whatever it might be that's important to you. But then let's say you make $70,000 or $80,000 or $100,000 a year, you could then give it back. You could build schools, you could maybe volunteer your time a little bit more, or maybe help out in some other way. And that's the great thing, is that it doesn't have to be a selfish thing. Oh, I want more so that I can run out and buy a new set of golf clubs or a new purse. It can be, hey, I want more, so maybe I put aside part of that raise for that, but then part of it, put it aside for, you know, contributing to the world in a greater way, because with more money, we have more resources to do greater good.
Yes, absolutely. And you're a great example of that. Jennifer, you're, you know, certainly a giver and have built the schools in, you know, other parts of the world for the underprivileged. And I think it's so very true. You know, I've worked with collegiates to help them get their very first job, and have really guided them on some questions to ask at the end of the job interview, like after, you know, when they get the offer. I've worked with, you know, athletes and professional 6- and 7-figure business owners. And you're right, they're very gracious with their time. They don't think of themselves as greedy when they create a fair and equitable deal.
Yeah, and it's about creating win-wins. I think you touched on that important topic earlier. I think any time that we approach any sort of negotiation, conflict resolution, salary increase, job increase, or otherwise, we're going to set ourselves up to fail if we are coming at it from a selfish perspective. Like, say, for example, there was somebody I recently met who said, I want a promotion. That's it. Like, I want a promotion because I want a promotion, or I want a raise because I need more money. That's not good enough. And if you come from a place to an employer or to a business meeting of wanting to take something from the other person, you're going to create a short circuit. But the moment that you come from a give and a flow, and that's why I joke about Monopoly, but I'm serious, because there's an ebb and a flow. Life is one big game. I give you a little, you give me a little. And that's where win-wins come in, is that I can ask you for what I want, but in return, I'm going to provide something of equal or greater value. And that's where reciprocity, and that's where workability in the world comes from.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's really a good point. And I have a real quick example. There was a gal that was referred to me, and she and I were going to have just a quick 15-minute strategy call. Well, her question was this. I am interviewing for an for a producer role, and I would like for you to help me negotiate an executive producer role. And so we kind of talked about this, and as it turned out, what I suggested that she do is go in and really, you know, knock it out of the park in terms of being an exceptional candidate, being able to speak to the role. She had some leverage points. She was going in as a, she was referred in, and she also knew some things about the business. They did not have this other role in place. So I asked her to look at a job description for that role and to think about where the gaps were, you know, where they were not in the other, the initial role. And she was able to go in and ask some really good questions and come out of the job interview with the executive producer role. And so I think that, you know, what could have been a situation where she was negotiating too soon was more about the business issues, you know, understanding why they had this position open, what they wanted this person to do, and then being clear about really what she wanted to do instead, how she could help them in this way. But in the event that they were willing, she was more than capable of stepping into this role, and then she was able to get it. So it was great. And I told her to, you know, to just think about being an exceptional candidate and going in there prepared. But if for some reason they didn't bite on the other role, the higher role, then to see about trying to get a review in perhaps 3 months, you know, find out when they were going to be doing their annual reviews. And a lot of times people don't even think to ask that question, but in most cases, people only get about a 3% raise a year. So if you're not going to, if they've just had their reviews and they do them annually, it may be anywhere from 12 to 15 months before you get an opportunity for an increase. So she was able to leverage, you know, some really high quality questions and her knowledge of the industry to get the next level. And she felt great about it, and they were really happy to have her on board.
I completely agree. I've seen that situation happen many times in my recruiting career. And I think it's important about how you frame it. Oh, can you tell me about that? Could you elaborate a little bit more about what your structure is, your review structure? If you say it in a way that can be jarring, such as, when are your reviews? Well, how soon would I be eligible for a review? That really can ruffle people's feathers. But if you soften your languaging and you say, you know, can you tell me a little bit about your process? If I were to join the team and it was a win-win, can you tell me when I would be eligible for a reviewer increase? What does that look like? What would your expectations be in order for me to be eligible for my bonus? And when you use very soft, inquisitive, kind of open, curious language, it really invites an open and curious response.
Yes. I think your mannerisms and the way that you deliver your answers and your questions are very, very important.
I completely agree. Well, Corinne, tell our listeners, were there any takeaways or anything that I didn't get a chance to ask you about today that you'd love to share with our listeners?
I would say, you know, the whole idea about, you know, simple no-cost things you can do to save time and money and energy before you even ever think about negotiating kind of goes back to that research that I did, and we uncovered that a couple of those things would be maybe develop the relationships first and ask specifically for what you want. Those would be some things. And then also, you know, you want to have a good basic understanding of negotiation. If you need an advisor or a mentor or a good class, I would recommend that. And then do your research. You know, there's things on Glassdoor and Indeed. You know, these are areas that you can go to really get some good quality salary information so that you know what the parameters are. Because everything is negotiable, so going in prepared helps.
I completely agree. And for many people who may not be aware, there are certain states, I know California and New York are included, that I'm referencing. And at least in California, you are legally allowed to ask, what is this job paying? Now, again, it varies by state, so I would definitely check your state rules, or if you're tuning in from another part of the world, certainly check in with your local legislature. But what I would say is that what you can do is, again, softly approach it. Oh, could you tell me a little bit about what the average range is for this position? And they're obligated in certain states to tell you, though you really want to be very soft about how you approach your language around that.
Absolutely.
Well, Corinne, tell our listeners, where can they find information about you? I think you have a special offer for our listeners today, so definitely want to be sure that people are aware of that.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I thought I would gift your listeners with some free training on how to stop self-sabotage in your negotiations. And this is just a snapshot, and it includes some solutions and success strategies for them. Plus, I'll share my Be the Difference manifesto. And it's just something to think about to kind of get you in the mindset of really delivering on the promise of a great interview, a great negotiation, whatever lane that is in. And they can find the free gift at CorinneWofford.com/negotiate. And I'll spell that real quick for you. It's CorinneWofford.com/negotiate.
Perfect, Corinne. Well, it's such a joy to get to talk to you again. I mean, I definitely recommend checking Corinne's books out on gratitude and all of the work that you do, Corinne. I think you're helping the world be a better place.
Oh, well, thank you. I think you asked some great questions today, and hopefully it resonated with the audience. And it was my pleasure to be here today, Jennifer. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Corinne. And thank you to everybody who tuned into today's show, whether you're listening today on February 24th or down the road at a later time. I'm sure this information will be equally as relevant 5 years from now or 5 days from now. So a reminder that you can go to iTunes, and later in the week, this show, along with all of our other shows, is available on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook under Get Yourself the Job. Just today, I shared an article about flexible jobs. I get a lot of press releases and different statistics about what's happening in the employment world. And there was a great article today about what percentage of workers are now working remotely that's available on the Get Yourself the Job page on Facebook. So also, you can find us on latalkradio.com. On the Get Yourself the Job page, at the bottom of that page, you'll find an archive of all of our prior shows, including today's episode, shortly after the episode. And please do leave us any feedback on Facebook, feedback on iTunes. It really helps us to provide better content for you and to choose appropriate guests for what matters most to you. So thanks for everybody for tuning in. Thank you, Corinne, for joining us, and wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.